over this next week. So she is home marking. I told her I would bring Isaiah so she could focus on marking. I gave him something to do there, so hopefully he won't be too much of an interruption. But if you hear a laugh every now and then, that's probably him, because he's looking at something there that might be funny. Also, just wanted to welcome Emma. How do you say your last name, Emma? Is it Lee Cullum? Lee Cullum. Emma's sitting in the back. I just met her briefly in the morning. She's in grade 8. So let's give her a big clap. Welcome, Emma, to the service. We're glad to have you join us. And I think those are all the announcements, pre-announcements before the sermon. It's very nice outside. You guys definitely got more snow than Scarborough, which is where I'm coming from. So it's really nice. We can enjoy it while it lasts. This might be an indication that the winter is going to be a pretty rough one, but I'm sure that we'll get through it. Okay, before we get into the sermon, let's just pray together. Father, we just thank you so much for this time where we get to come and listen to your word. Such a privilege and an honor to just be able to hear your word, God. And Father, I am just merely an instrument, a vessel to deliver your word and your message. I just pray that right now, Holy Spirit, you would anoint my lips. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and help us to understand your truth. Help us to understand our identity in Christ. And for any of us where that identity has been distorted, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would restore it and that you would renew it. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. So as you can see, we have moved on from that series of building the right foundation. Okay, and I shared with you guys a couple of weeks ago that we were going to start to eat and digest some solid food. Okay, that we're going to try to be growing deeper and maturing deeper in our faith. And we're going to get into a series on identity in Christ. And I also shared with you guys that we're going to be moving towards a series on spiritual warfare. Okay? But before I get into that, you know, this past week there was a young person that I know, and he's about 10 years old, and he asked a pretty profound question. He said, why did so many bad things happen to the people in Jamaica during the hurricane? And it was a good question because, you know, he's thinking about why bad things happen in the world. Why did bad things happen in Jamaica? Why do bad things happen in other parts of the world where there is war? And, you know, that kind of actually sparked a conversation because a lot of other kids were asking a similar question. But, you know, when we look at these situations happening around the world, one thing that we have to think about is that God doesn't cause all things bad to happen. We live in a broken world. We live in an evil world. We know that there is a curse upon this world, which happened once Adam and Eve sinned. And while these bad things happen to good people, God is still sovereign in his grace and his mercy to comfort and strengthen people. But you know, I think for many of us, we kind of struggle with these big, profound questions. Like, if God is so loving, why does he allow bad things to happen? And part of the answer to that is, again, God does not allow all bad things to happen. He is not the cause of all bad things. Well, if God is in control of everything, why didn't he prevent the hurricane from happening? And you know, some things we just don't fully understand. Some things cannot be fully explained. And it's kind of like that story with Job, when certain things were happening with Job in his life, and he was suffering and he lost everything. And Job had a right to question God, and yet he didn't. He continued to trust God. And even when there was the opportunity to question God. God simply told Job, "Where were you, Job, when I created the foundations of the world? Where were you when I set things in order in the world?" And you know, for us as Christians, there may not be, you know, or there may be moments where we don't understand things fully. But we need to understand that God's ways are different from our ways. And He thinks differently than how we do. And some things we are not going to fully understand. Some things are going to be a mystery. Yet He calls us to still trust Him, to still have faith in Him, and to still believe that He works all things out for the good of those who have been called by His name. So I can tell you guys that the church and the people in Jamaica, they're doing pretty well. Other than losing their homes and, you know, only two people passed away in the community, and there's a lot of devastation and destruction in their community. But at the same time, they have hope. They believe that God is working out something good in this situation, even though the situation seems hopeless. And I shared with you guys, or some of you guys, that the community where I've been serving over the past 7 years in Jamaica got hit pretty hard by the hurricane. But by God's grace, they still have hope, and they still are persevering, and they're still coming together as a church community. So that is just a brief testimony that I wanted to share with you guys. So now, getting back into our identity in Christ. So I shared with you guys that over the next couple of weeks, we are going to be learning how to grow as a soldier. How can we become a soldier of Christ? Because we're entering a new season. A season where we need to understand what it means to be a true soldier of Christ, and a season of growing to be a soldier of Christ. We understood over the last couple of weeks that as Christians, physical training is good. It's good for us to exercise. It's good for us to lift weights. It's good for us to go on, you know, certain plans that is going to be good for us eating healthy. But godly training is much better. Training for godliness, training to grow like Christ, training to become a disciple of Christ is beneficial for us to make it through this life as a Christian and to stand before Christ one day and to give an honest account of our life and how we used our time for God and to be welcomed into His kingdom. We understood over the last couple of weeks that we need to mature. That if there is anybody here and say you are 14 years old and you are still drinking milk physically as a teenager, then most likely something is really wrong with you. And you are probably very sick, and I would recommend you go see a doctor. Okay? Nobody here is of age or an adult or a teenager, and you are still drinking milk. But the Bible gave us that description as well, that as Christians, if we have been a Christian for 2, 4, 6, 10, 15, 20 years, and we haven't matured, we haven't grown, we haven't really become a disciple of Christ, then we are actually sick spiritually. And we need to also take a look at that, because we need to understand that if there has been an authentic moment of salvation in our life, then we will grow to become more like Christ. So here's the honest question for you is, do you want to grow? Do you want to become a disciple of Christ? Do you want to follow in Christ's footsteps? Because I can honestly do as much as I can do to explain the truths of the Bible to you and to help you understand. But at the end of the day, it is your choice to make a decision as to whether or not you want to grow. Do you want to mature? Because understanding the truth of God's word is one, yes, Holy Spirit needs to help us understand. But also two, we need to make a choice. Do we want to grow? So my question to you is, over this next couple of weeks or months or however long it takes us to become equipped as a true disciple of Christ, do you want to grow as a soldier of Christ? Because we are in a real battle. There is a battle happening right now for your soul and for the people around you. There's a battle happening right now in the unseen, even right here in this room, to us to understand these truths that are about to be shared. And we will begin to unpack what this battle looks like. But we will all have a choice. Do we want to be in the game and be in the battle? Or do we just simply want to sit on the sidelines? We'll start here. Every good soldier understands their enemy. Okay? It doesn't matter if you are in the Chinese army, if you're in the Canadian army, if you're in the Korean army, the U.S. Army. I served for about 3 years in the Canadian Army. And the majority of the training was centered on this main thing. Know our enemy. And they drill that into you. These are your enemies. This is how you need to know how to defeat your enemy. This is what their training is about. This is how they train. This is the type of weapons that they use. How can you defeat your enemy? How can you make sure that you don't get overcome by the enemy? So every good soldier of Jesus knows their enemy. We need to know our enemy. Okay, this is basic spiritual warfare. Okay, if you don't already know this, it just means you haven't taken time to know it because it's in the Bible. And this is just the basics of spiritual warfare. What is the focus of Satan and his kingdom? Even that question might bring up some, you know, different thoughts. Okay, we need to understand that God has a kingdom. Okay, he has angels that are fighting on his behalf. That's all throughout the Bible as well, and it's still true today. But Satan also has a kingdom. He has fallen angels and he has demons, which later we will learn about their origin and where they came from. But he also has people in his army and in his kingdom that are fighting for him. What is the focus of Satan and his fallen angels and his demon? Well, this is the focus of Satan and his kingdom. It's number one, he wants to keep people from genuinely knowing Christ. Stop people from hearing the truth of the gospel and distract Christians from growing in their knowledge of the Bible and relationship with Christ. Okay, the mission of the church is not so easy. Because if you go to do the mission of Jesus Christ without understanding the battle that we are in, most likely we will fail as the church. Because Satan is doing things to prevent people from hearing the gospel. When members go out and they hold the signs up on Saturday and they want to share the truth, Satan is doing things to prevent the world from hearing the truth. Satan and his kingdom is working in the unseen. This is what he wants to do. Satan is good at what he does, and he does not care if people end up in hell with him. The thing about Satan is he already knows what the end game is for him. And he is happy and glad to bring as many people with him into destruction and into hell with him. And he will find absolute pleasure in having people join him in hell, separated from God for all of eternity. So he wants to keep people from knowing Christ. Second, if people by God's grace come into the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ and put their faith in him, well, Satan will keep one from spiritually maturing and effectively serving Christ and making disciples of Christ. Now, somebody might say, well, oh, Pastor Christian, when I became a Christian, that means Satan can't bother me anymore. Untrue. It means you are possessed by the Holy Spirit. But Satan will actively go after the Christian to do what? Make your life not purposeful. Make your life ineffective. Make you come to church and listen to a message and then go home and live your life like the rest of the world. Make you come to church every Sunday, listen to the Bible, and never actually grow into becoming more like Jesus Christ. This is what Satan does. And this is in the Bible. It's all throughout the Bible. He wants to keep us as Christians from spiritually maturing. So maybe you wonder, well, you know what? Sometimes I really don't have a desire to know God or spend time in the Bible or growing in my relationship with God. Well, I can submit to you that is probably not just your own desire, but it is a desire that is influenced by Satan and his kingdom. He wants to keep us from growing as Christians. And the third thing is he wants to cause disunity and division in the body of Christ. I don't know how much study you do of the church, but there are many churches fighting against each other. Sadly, Satan wants the church fighting against each other. Christians fighting against each other. Why? Because that will misrepresent the love of God. It will misrepresent the love of Christ. And so anytime there's division or there's disunity in the church, this is something that Satan and his kingdom enjoys. He wants to keep people from genuinely knowing Christ, keep Christians from spiritually maturing, and cause disunity and division in the church. Don't just take my word for it. Let's look at the Bible. John 10:10, the thief, Satan's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. We used Satan as a name, but in actuality, that name Satan actually just means adversary. He is an adversary to us. And what is his purpose? Steal, kill, and destroy. 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan, who is the god of this world, right? The world that we live in, this is Bible, Satan is the god of this world. He has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So one, who is the god of this world? Satan. He's influencing the desires, the culture, the system of this world. And he has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And they are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. Satan is blinding. We will learn later how he is blinding people and how they are blinded. But at the end of the day, he is working to cause people not to believe and not to understand the truth of God's message. Ephesians 2:2, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. This is an amazing truth for us. It says you used to live in sin. Just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. God only defines two types of children in this world, children of God and children of Satan. If we are Christian, then we used to be children of Satan, used to be living in sin. But Satan, he's the commander of the powers in the unseen world. So there is an unseen world that we need to learn about, right? There's an unseen world we need to understand. Okay, I'm going to ask Alvin, come sit in the front, my man. You're being too distracted. So if you guys are getting distracted, I'll call you out. Unfortunately, just like in high school, embarrass you a little bit, and then you have to pay attention right there. Good? Cool. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So Satan is working, and there is an unseen world that is happening. There are things happening in the unseen world. And so for us as Christians, we need to pay attention to this. Well, what is this unseen world? What do we need to understand about this unseen world? What is happening in this unseen world? And we can look to the Bible, we can look to Scripture to understand more about this unseen world. It's something that we will get into more of. Is it clicked on there still? Awesome. Understanding and remembering who we are in Christ is an invaluable part of our Christian journey. Satan and his kingdom will constantly look to mess up our identity in Christ, which leads to unfruitfulness and unfaithfulness. Hey, I got TikTok up there. Because I want us to understand something. We need to think about this. Our identity in Christ. Whose opinions are you listening to? Or whose opinions matter to you? Okay, think about that for a moment. When somebody shares their opinion with you, whose opinion matters the most to you? Like when I maybe challenge my wife or I criticize her a little bit and then she gets frustrated, she will tell me, you know, that hurt a little bit because your opinion matters very much to me. How you think about me matters. Maybe for some of you, your parents' opinion matters very much to you. Or maybe it's your spouse. But whose opinion matters to you? This all has the ability to affect our identity. Okay, and sadly, we live in a time right now where there is so many different opinions. There's opinions on TikTok. There's opinions on Instagram. There's opinions on Facebook. Old guys like me still use Facebook. There's opinions on Twitter. There's opinions all over YouTube. Every social media outlet, we find opinions. Opinions on how you should live. Opinions on who God is. Opinions on what it means to be a Christian. Opinions on what is important in this life. Opinions on how you should invest your time and your energy and your resources. There are so many opinions around us. And we live in a time where everyone wants to share their opinion. We see that. Whether it's shorts on YouTube or the videos on TikTok. Everybody wants to share their opinion. In my time growing up, I didn't have social media like this. Okay, now I see social media, and then I shared this with you guys before. I don't care about a girl's opinion on how good watermelon tastes. Okay, or what the best type of drink is out there. I honestly don't care. And I don't waste my time watching videos about people posting about, hey, this is the best restaurant. You should go and eat here. Why? Because it has the best this or that. Who cares? Okay? That is just my personal opinion. And there are so many different opinions that are shared on these social media outlets. If you want to take the time to listen to those opinions, that's cool. But make sure you're measuring it up with the Bible. Make sure you're measuring it against the opinion of God. Because these opinions have the ability to affect how we think, how we act, and what we accept as truth, and how we live for Christ. We need to understand, remember, Satan is the god of this world. Satan is working to distort our identity in Christ. So don't think that sometimes Satan also works through social media to affect how we think about ourselves and to affect our identity in Christ. The truth is that our identity is under attack. Whether that be in your school or with the opinions online, our identity is under attack. Because our identity is under attack in a way that it has never been before. Where people will say, well, if you want to identify as a girl and you are a boy, or if you want to identify as a boy and you are a girl, that is okay. In whose opinion? God never said that. And is God's opinion, does that still matter in your school? Does that still matter at your work? Does that still matter in our society? We have to understand, guys, that Satan is working very cleverly at distorting the truth of God's word. It's the same trick that he did with Adam and Eve, and he's doing it now. Where he's saying, did God really say that? Well, if you want to do this, then you have the right to do it. And we have to be careful about all these different opinions. Satan is attacking the identity of people, and he's attacking the identity of Christians. And there is so much confusion in the world. Now, if we think about this for a moment, let's just bring it back to us as Christians. Many Christians sadly live with a wrong identity. Sometimes we identify ourselves based on our career, based on our family, based on our achievements and our possessions, sometimes even based on our ministry. That's how we identify ourselves. But our identity as Christians is meant to be strictly rooted in Christ. If the first thing you think about when somebody asks you, who are you? If I were to ask you that, who are you? What would your answer be? To me or anyone else? Who are you? You see, when you ask people or even Christians that question, some will say, well, I'm a teacher. That's what I do. Or I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm someone who owns this, or I own that. Or even, I'm a pastor. I've met people like that. We identify ourselves with these things that are actually wrong. But if we were to be asked that question, who are we? I hope our answer would first be, well, I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Christ. I'm a disciple of Christ. That is when our identity is strongly rooted in Christ. And that is who we are according to Jesus. According to Christ, our identity, our self-worth, and our value should be rooted in him. And what he says about us and the purpose he has given to us as Christians. Okay, we looked at this from our scripture reading today. This is a powerful truth. In Ephesians 1, Holy Spirit shares some powerful truths about our identity. It says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Now we could get into the story of this church. This church in Ephesus has an interesting history. They were very passionate initially about their faith in Jesus Christ. And slowly over time, they started to lose their passion. This church also got persecuted at times. But Paul is writing to encourage them and to remind them of who they are in Christ. First, Paul, he identifies himself as a chosen apostle by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Okay, Paul is very strong in his identity in Christ. He is 100% certain of who he is and what his identity is. Okay, you see this description many times in the epistles or in the letters in the New Testament, where the apostle will say, I am this or I am that. I'm a slave of Christ or I'm an apostle of Christ. Paul knows his identity. He knows who he is. But he also is writing to a group of people that also know who they are. He's writing to faithful, spiritually mature believers. Paul is writing this letter while he is in prison. And it's interesting that even for these mature believers who know their identity, Paul needs to remind them of who they are in Christ. This teaches us that we constantly need to be reminded of the truth about our identity in Christ, regardless of where we are in our journey, because our enemy, Satan, will always try to attack our identity. This has to be our foundation, guys, if we are to grow and to mature. Who are you? Where do you find your self-worth? Where do you find your value? Where do you find your purpose? If it's anything outside of Christ, it's in a wrong place. Because our identity is meant to be rooted in Christ as children of God. Regardless of where we are in our journey as Christians, this is where it all begins for us if we want to grow. If we actually want to make a real impact and difference in the world, is we need to understand our identity, who we are in Christ, what Christ has done for us, yes, but who we are in Him. Regardless of if you've sinned this past week, what is your identity? Regardless of if you don't feel very worthy or valued right now, what is your identity in God? Regardless of if you feel that you don't really know what your identity is, what does God say about who you are? We're going to look at this over the next couple of weeks. That regardless of the messaging in the world or from our friends or from social media, God says some very powerful things about who we are as His children. And we need to remember these things as a part of our identity. Why? because your identity and my identity in Christ is constantly going to be under attack. And probably until Jesus returns, or when you pass away, your identity in Christ will be under attack. So we need to make sure that we have a good understanding of who we are. So who are you? Who would you say that you are? And how has your identity in Christ been rooted so that it does not get shaken or moved by any of the opinions of the people that are around you? Our identity needs to be firm. Okay? And so I want to remind you guys that as we journey together over the next couple of weeks, we are going to learn how to become a soldier. Okay? It's no longer about just being a good churchgoer. It's no longer about just being a good Christian. Those things aren't even biblical. But what Jesus calls us to as Christians is to grow to become a soldier. Grow to understand our enemy. Grow to understand this unseen world and what the Bible talks about. And grow how to use our authority in Christ to take back what Satan has stolen, which is all the souls and the people who he has blinded from hearing the truth of the gospel. And if we want to be successful in the mission of Christ, well, we will need to have a very good understanding of spiritual warfare, of our enemy, of the unseen world, and how we as Christians, with our identity firmly rooted and grounded in Christ, can stand firm against Satan and not be defeated, and how we can also fight in this battle to not only win souls, but to make sure that we ourselves are not defeated. Because if there's one thing that you leave with today, I want you to leave with this. If I can go back, let's see. Can we go back to the slide, Spiritual Warfare 101? Thank you. Nice. Thanks, Lionel. That's amazing. If I want to leave something with you guys today, it's this. To understand our enemy. Okay? And we will learn. The Bible says that we are not unaware of Satan's schemes. As Christians, we have the ability to know all of Satan's tactics. Just like if you train as a good soldier in any army, you will know your enemy's tactics. And as Christians, we have the ability to know Satan's tactics. But he is working to keep one from genuinely knowing Christ, to keep us from spiritually maturing, and to cause disunity. Okay, and I'm going to tell you guys, Satan is very good at what he does. And he is very smart at what he does. If you think that you're going to outsmart Satan, probably not. Because we're going to understand Satan's origin and really look at how he was an angel of God and how he fell and what caused him to fall. But at the same time, the encouragement is we have Holy Spirit living inside of us. And the Bible says that greater is he that lives inside of us than he that is in the world. What does that mean? Is that if you genuinely have been saved and born again and Holy Spirit lives inside of you, then actually Satan can do very little to disrupt your life, to cause anything in your life to take you away from God, because that spirit that lives inside of you is much more powerful than Satan. The fact of the matter is, most Christians don't know how to stand in their identity and also use the power and authority that they've been given from Holy Spirit to stand firm against Satan. Okay, and so this week, maybe there might be something that will go on in your life, and maybe Satan will attack your identity, but remember who you are in Christ. And remember that he is working to do different things, but as a Christian, we are more strong and we are more able to stand firm against him. Okay, so we will go on this journey of learning about our identity and how we grow as soldiers. And hopefully by the end of it, we will be an army and we will be able to stand firm against Satan and go to war against the things that we are meant to go to war as a church and as Christians. Okay? Last thing I will share and then I will pray. It has been my experience that anytime this topic of spiritual warfare is brought up, people get fearful, right? They get scared. I don't understand. Unseen angels, fallen angels, demons. What does all this mean? So as I share about this over the next couple of weeks and as we get more deep into it, starting into the new year, talking about spiritual warfare, and it's something that you guys are very interested in, it's never meant to bring fear. If fear is a feeling that you have, it's not from God. Talking about spiritual warfare, as Christians, it's meant to bring awareness. It's something that we should be aware of because it's all throughout the Bible. And Jesus talked about it many times. And he dealt with the Satan and his kingdom many times. It's all throughout the Old Testament. It's all throughout the New Testament. So as we learn about it, and as we grow in our knowledge about it, it's not meant to bring fear, but it's meant to bring awareness so that we understand and we grow more in our knowledge. Okay? So awareness is the goal, not fear. And if you have any questions at any time, you can feel free to come and talk with me, and I'll be happy to work through them with you. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. God, it's a season right now where I believe you want to take us even deeper as your church. And God, it's very hard to be effective and productive in your kingdom without having this understanding of spiritual warfare. It's not a topic that is taught very much in churches. It's not a topic, Lord, that you will hear much about on the internet unless you're looking for it. But God, this is a topic that is very important to us as Christians, to understand this unseen world and this unseen battle that we are in. I pray that as we go on this journey, I pray that you would not only reveal to us these deeper truths, but I pray that you would protect us, God. That for any of us who are genuinely serious about making a difference for your kingdom and genuinely serving you, Jesus, we will need to understand this topic of spiritual warfare. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will bring awareness to each of us. I pray that you would guard us against fear and timidity. And I pray that you would also open our eyes to just see the areas of our own life that need to be fully submitted and surrendered to you, God. So I pray that you would grow us in our identity, that our identity would be firmly rooted in you, Jesus, not in the things and the opinions of this world, but in your word, Christ, and in who you are. And I pray, God, that if any of us are feeling right now just a lack of self-worth, a lack of value, a lack of even feeling purpose in life, I just pray that we would understand who we are through what you say about us, God, and through your word, and through what you say about us as your dearly loved children. And I pray that by faith we would believe your words above the lies and the opinions of other people. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would make this real to us and reveal it to us. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.